from the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
And so when someone holds me accountable to something, I say, who do you think you are? I bet you got some problems too. And who do you think you are looking down on me? Hey, I'm leaving this church. Church is a bunch of hypocrites. But really, on the inside, I have a real trouble with authority.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. It's one of the hardest things there is to do, to forgive someone who has hurt you. You might say, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Well, Jesus not only forgives us of our sins, he actually forgets about them. Here is Pastor Wayne Cordero with a message entitled, When You Can't Seem to Forgive.
Today, we want to understand a little bit more about something that's not always easy to give away. Easy to receive, tough to give away, and that's forgiveness. And there are going to be times that it's going to be tough to forgive. I don't know about you, but even as a Christian and as a pastor, I find it sometimes hard to forgive people. How many of you, please, agree with me? Yeah, good. Okay, thank you. I don't feel alone. Yeah, it's not always that easy. And part of the reason is because I often misunderstand what forgiveness is. I think, well, if I give forgiveness, that means I'm in denial of what took place. No. Sometimes an injustice will have taken place. Someone will have inflicted pain or hurt onto you. Well, if I forgive, that means I'm just denying what happened. No, it's not. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not denying what took place. And neither does it mean that there, if I forgive, then there's no consequences, right? They'll be exonerated from. No. Sin always has consequences. In fact, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You see, when I commit a sin, there is incurred a spiritual debt. A debt has occurred, a spiritual debt. And that debt has to be satisfied. And if it's not satisfied in the correct way, reconciled in the right way, sin is a taskmaster and it demands that debt to be paid or satisfied. And the debt will be satisfied with the wages of sin is death, which means deterioration. And we've seen that when sin isn't reconciled correctly in a marriage, it deteriorates the marriage, it deteriorates the family, deteriorates your mind and your heart and even your future, because it is a spiritual debt that demands to be paid. And if it's not paid in the right way with the right currency, the results are death. It starts to deteriorate your life. It's like acid. You pour acid on something, it'll start to corrode or destroy or toxify a part of your life. Well, you say, well, how do you satisfy that debt correctly? Well, that's what Jesus did when he came and paid. See, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. He who was without sin came and paid for it with his life, the death of Christ on the cross. And he paid for not his sins, our sins. And so because he purchased forgiveness, now when we who have sinned cannot pay that debt, there's no way we can do it. We come to him and ask for forgiveness. He then gives to us the forgiveness that he purchased on the cross, and that debt of sin is paid for. However, there are still consequences in relationships that have already debilitated to a certain degree, and that is a consequence. And if I don't go to Christ and get it taken care of correctly, then the consequences will be there. So when I forgive, it doesn't mean that there won't ever be any consequences for that person. Oh, they'll have to take care of it. Otherwise, the consequences will take place in their lives. So it doesn't mean I'm denying something that took place. It doesn't mean that sin has no consequences now. Or neither does it mean when I forgive that I take this lightly or God is going to take it lightly. God never takes sin lightly. It is that which has destroyed millions of people's families and futures and lives and generations. God never takes sin lightly. So then, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is simply this. Forgiveness is me choosing to heal well rather than feel bad. I'm just going to heal well. And forgiveness means I'm going to release my past rather than rehearse it every day. And forgiveness means I'm going to let God take his role and be the one who's going to enforce anything and not me. Because it's so easy for me to switch roles with God and I'm going to be the enforcer. and I'm going to tell him what he needs to do. No, no, no. When I take on God's role, you die. It just destroys you. It causes stress, anxiety, and you suffer immensely. Forgiveness is simply saying, Lord, that's your role to be the enforcer and not mine. Because three times in the Bible, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The first is in Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. And those that sin will have retribution taken on them. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The other is Romans chapter 12. Again, he repeats it. Vengeance is mine, Wayne, not yours. And by forgiving, what you're simply saying is, no, that this thing isn't going to get exonerated. You're just saying, Lord, you are the judge, not me. You're the enforcer, not me. And so you stay with your role. I'm going to stay with mine. And forgiveness is releasing God to be faithful to who he is supposed to be. And he will. That's why it says in Romans 12, so if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. But it doesn't mean everything is like, I'm going to deny what happened. No, because there are some things that are pretty painful. And God says, I'll take care of that. And the other is in Hebrews chapter 10. Again, God says, vengeance is mine. I'll repay. So forgiveness is saying, God, you take your role. And I'm going to trust you with that. And I've got to take mine. I can handle this. I cannot handle that. Because it'll cause me to be bitter. And I will then be destroyed. And if I don't forgive, then I'll be imprisoned to this event. Once Peter came to Jesus and he said this, Lord, yeah, but it's hard to forgive because sometimes people just are really dum-dums and they do stuff to you again and again. By the way, God, how many times should I forgive someone? If a Christian sins against me like six times, seven times, that's about seven. Should I forgive him like seven times? So the same thing? And the Lord says, no, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, you get to keep forgiving him as much as you need to make sure that you're staying in your role and I take mine. Otherwise, roles will get switched if you don't forgive, and then it'll kill you. Vengeance is mine. Peter, let me explain it. Yeah, Lord, you need to explain this. Okay, let me explain it with a story. And he tells him a story. A man owed a landowner, and in our currency today, the Bible kind of gives it in denarii, but in and talents of gold. But in our currency, I mean, it's an amazing amount. A person owed a landowner $18 million. And the day of repayment came. And if he didn't make repayment, he'd be thrown in jail, in prison. So he came to the landowner and the landowner said, pay me what you owe. And he said, I don't have the money. Just give me more time and I'll pay it. Well, the Bible says the landowner felt compassion for him. And you know what? He didn't just give him more time. He forgave the whole debt. And man, this guy, oh, thank you, thank you. Well, the story continues, and the Lord's telling this to Peter, and unfolding it chapter by chapter. And he says, this guy goes and finds his buddy that, now he was just forgiven $18 million, but he found his buddy that owed him, in today's equivalency of currency, owed him $18. And he said, give me the money, otherwise you get thrown in prison. And the guy says, same thing. Give me more time because I don't have it. And the Bible says this man takes him by the collar and shakes him and says, what are you talking about? Give me that money, and throws him into prison. Now, when the big lord, landlord, when the big one heard about this weenie head over here, what he did is this. Let's find out at the top of our notes. Let's find out what he did and what he said. Let's read it together. Go. And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his... Yeah, you know what God is saying in this story to Peter? He's saying this, Peter, you don't have to forgive. No, but if you don't forgive, you will die in prison. What do you mean? You will die imprisoned to the event that someone inflicted upon you. If you can't forgive, you will live imprisoned to that event and you will die imprisoned to that event. It will never get separated so you can go free. Forgiveness is powerful. because it allows me to continue my work in your life unimpeded by what people have done. And people will. They will inflict stuff on you. You say, well, Wayne, well, what if they do, though? What do you do? This guy, one guy I know is continuing to do the same thing. What do I do? Well, we're going to hear from David, and we're going to hear from Jesus today, and Peter. Three people that will give us advice on when it's tough to forgive. What do you do? The first comes from David. Now, you have to remember, David understood about someone inflicting pain on him again and again. God had spoken to David and said, you're going to be the next king. Saul didn't want that. So Saul began to slander him. He began to talk against him. In fact, he began to pursue and stalk David to kill him. David became a fugitive. And how often David would be hiding in a cave and Saul would come looking for him. And David would run out and say, Saul, I'm your friend. And he'd throw a spear at him. I'm your friend. Really? And he'd have to run and hide again. In fact, there was one day that Saul was going through this anger fit. And the same thing happened. When he was trying to soothe Saul, Saul picks up a spear to try and kill him. So, what would David say? First piece of advice. If someone, one of your friends or someone is constantly doing the same thing to you, inflicting pain, what should you do when it's tough to forgive? Here's what David would say. It's very practical. Learn to duck. I say it a little nicer in the notes. But number one, would you write down, learn to avoid those who cause you pain. Yeah, learn to duck. I know there's a wife out there saying, praise the Lord, I've been waiting for this. Now I can get rid of my husband. Man, because I got to avoid him. No. There's enough on that subject for a whole different sermon. So today we're going to talk in generalities, all right, on forgiveness. But the first advice is learn to duck. What that means is learn to avoid those who cause you pain. What do you mean? See, you got to realize this. A lot of times Christians, we are so gracious, almost to a fault. To a fault where you let people do stuff that again and again and again. And God has never said to be gullible. He said be teachable. But being teachable and being gullible are worlds apart. Because one makes you susceptible to any dum-dum. Teachable makes you wise. So that you don't repeat stuff again and again. And so the first is learn to avoid. And that's exactly what happened with David and Saul. Let's read the scripture together. Go. Saul, who had a spear in his hand, suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David jumped aside and escaped. He ducked. And we need to do the same. Now, it doesn't sound that real spiritual, that spiritual, but you got to do it. Why? Because you can't forgive? No. I forgive people. But if someone's constantly inflicting pain, I just don't hang around them anymore. Why? Because I need to heal from the scrapes and scratches already inflicted. It's sort of like this. If someone breaks my arm, pack, ow! I forgive you. I said it. But now, guess what? For a season, I don't want anyone to come near this arm for a while. Why? Because it's healing. It's not because I can't forgive you. No. It's because it's healing. And I'm going to let it heal. I'm more concerned about my healing than retaliating. Just be wise. And the same thing if you sprain your ankle and you're in a room full of people, you just kind of make sure nobody comes around that ankle, right? Yeah, why? Because you want to cooperate with a season of healing. And there's going to be times in your life where you're just going to have to be much wiser with certain people because you got to let stuff heal on the inside. It's real practical. But it's true. So would you write in that bullet? You need to learn to, here it is, cooperate with the season for healing. And when someone has a tendency to injure with their words or actions, I just don't go around them anymore. I mean, I love them, I forgive them, but I'm not dumb. I'm just going to stay away from that a little bit. Because if you don't, if you're too gullible, and that happens again, you get hit again and hit again and hit again and hit again, then you know what? You have not understood the truth of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is, I've got to be released from this so I can be what God is calling me to be. And if you don't, you'll become just like that person. Because there'll be a day when just something's going to break that camel's back and you're going to go, you know, I've been waiting for a long time to do this. Pooh! I can't take anymore. And you know what? To a passerby, that person with anger and you in your retaliation, you guys are exactly the same. You've allowed that person to make you just like them. No, you need to learn to duck. In fact, that's what the Bible says. Let's read the next scripture. Go. Keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and what? Endanger your own soul. That's right. Paul the Apostle had trouble with one guy named Alexander, who was a coppersmith. And watch how he speaks about him and also about God's role in the matter. Let's read the next one. Go. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Now be on guard against him yourself. Yeah, he's saying, yeah. Now who's going to repay him? The Lord, right. Do you see that? But, he said, but I'm going to be smarter now. I'm going to watch and be on guard because I may be a Christian and gracious, but I'm not dumb and stupid. And so he learns to, like David, duck. So the first is, you got to learn to duck. Now, some people say, Wayne, yeah, but do you get nailed sometimes? Oh, absolutely. Does it hurt? It hurts a lot. What do you do when you get betrayed or something happens? When no one's looking, I cry. I fill my pillow with tears. I stay up all night. I can't go to sleep. I lose sleep. I pace the floor. I put my head in my hands. And just like you, I wonder, what is going on? Why, God, is this happening? And life leaves me with questions as well. I struggle. I wrestle. I fume. I fuss. I say, God, why? But sooner or later, I've got to come to the point where I got to let it go. I got to forgive Pastor Elwin. I just got to let it go. Let it go. But we're all human, every single one of us. But here's something that I've found that Jesus now, David gave us the first piece of advice, to duck and be teachable, but not gullible. But Jesus is going to give us a second piece of advice, and it's recorded in the book of Mark. You know, there's times where I start to just, it seems like a whole season of everything going wrong. It's when it rains, it pours, and things are going wrong all over the place. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And this person does something wrong. That happens. This accident takes place. That thing takes place. This person kind of bilks me or betrays or says this. And I think, oh, man. And when I start to, especially when I start to make generalized, stereotypical kind of statements like, man, all women are dumb. Or all men are stupid. You know, it's just we start to make these huge generalized statements. Or you have two or three problems with Christians. You say, man, all those Christians are hypocrites. They're all hypocrites at that place. Man, I'm not going near that place. They're all weird. Not talking about this church, you know. But. And when I start seeing that in my life, and I'm just having a really hard time forgiving, here's the advice that Jesus would give. And would you write it in number two? Then he says, Wayne, you got to honestly evaluate your own heart. What? Now, you might not like this point, but listen. You got to honestly evaluate your own heart as to why forgiveness may be difficult. Evaluate your own heart. Now, stay with me because you might not like it. And it's going to get a little squeamish in here, but listen. Here's what happens. Sometimes I look around and you know what I've found? I've found that it's not necessarily others that make me bitter. It's not necessarily sourced in that person's actions, although I blame him for making me mad. You know what the Bible says? That tendency to be mad probably is sourced right here. That anger, or tendency to anger, has been in me for many years, and I live right on the edge of that. But it's dormant. Or a tendency to lust, a tendency to be greedy, a tendency to retaliate, has been in me for years, just dormant within me. And then when someone's action takes place, one of these things awakens And then it comes up and it surfaces and I blame him. And the Lord is saying, no, it's not sourced in his actions, as unjust as they might be. It's really sourced in you, and his actions just surfaced it. Now you can blame him and have a hard time forgiving and saying, that's unforgivable what he did. He should have been a leader. He should have known better. That's unforgivable. When in reality, that's in you already. It's an expectation that's far beyond what you should be putting on and placing on people. If I have a tendency to put expectations on people and I put them up a little higher than they can really reach in order for them to fail it so I can feel like I'm better than you. If that tendency for one-upsmanship is in me, or tendency to control, and then you do something that kind of puts me a little out of control, that's unforgivable what he did. When really the source of it's not there, it's here. His action surfaced it, but I want to blame you. And I say, I can't forgive you because look what you did. But really it's a tendency in here. Let's read this next scripture and you'll see what I mean. Let's read it. Go. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasure, envy, slander, pride and foolishness. All these vile things come from within, and they are what defile you and make you unacceptable to God. You see, it's what lodges within. And it could be dormant for years on the inside. For example, let's say I have a tendency to have a problem with authority. I just have a problem with authority. And so when someone holds me accountable to something, I say, who do you think you are? What kind of life? I bet you got some problems too. And who do you think you are looking down on me? And really, what I'll do is I'll turn and blame this person and say, he thinks he's a leader. What kind of example is he? But really, on the inside, I have a real trouble with authority. But then I say, hey, I'm leaving this church. Church is a bunch of hypocrites. You guys are no good for nothing. And I go, and what happens is if I have a tendency to blame everybody else, then really that source is yet in me. Your action, just or unjust, intentional or unintentional, what you did, what you said, surfaced something in me. If I'm super sensitive in a certain area and you say something that comes anywhere close, even though you don't intend to, I say, man, you hurt me. But you didn't hurt me. It's just something hypersensitive in me. And you said something and it surfaced in me. And now God is saying, now, Wayne, it surfaced in you so you can deal with it, not blame him. Because if you blame him, you're going to take this and you're going to say, that's why I'm leaving this church. And you leave the church, but you carry the same character flaw with you to the next place. And they're going to do the same thing one day. And you say, man, you guys are just like the other church I just left. We go to the same thing. That monster is still there. And we carry it in your whole life. We will die in prison to that thing. And we've blamed everybody for it. And we've never grown at all. And you'll carry it. It's just like hanging two dead toads around your neck. Oh, you stink. You stink too. You stink too. Everybody stinks in this place. And so the Lord is saying, I'm going to surface these things. And no, it's not sourced in his or her actions, just or unjust. Now, this isn't all across the board, but these are reasons why. And we need to evaluate to make sure that it's not something sourced on the inside. Yeah. But you say, Wayne, that guy, because of what he did, ruined my future. Let me just say this. God's plan for your life can never be thwarted by somebody else's sin. Nah, God is much greater than that.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, When You Can't Seem to Forgive, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Spreaker, SPREAKER.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. Again, that's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.